Amen. Thank you, Donna. Good morning. Man, I pray everybody is doing well on this Lord's Day. Like I say, it is a great day and an opportunity to say a very happy Mother's Day to the mothers in the crowd. And we want to show you our appreciation here in just a moment. But first of all, look around. Give somebody a wave and a real smile that says, hey, we're so glad to be here. Yeah, like we kind of started doing that back when the pandemic was going on and everybody was a little bit about, oh, I don't know if I want to shake somebody's hand or not, but a wave and a smile. Hey, you could even wink at somebody. You look around there and give them a wink and it'll all be good. If you're part of our online audience today, we welcome you to Mother's Day 2025 at Central Baptist Church, and we're glad that you're tuned in today. As always, be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito. You can't see him over there, but you see him on the keyboard. He does such a fantastic job with interacting with the online audience on Sundays, and we're so grateful for Dr. Cazito. And I get to tell people all the time, we have our own rocket scientist among us, because he's a professor at North Carolina A&T State University, and he also, in the summertime, contracts with NASA on rocket propulsion. So that's a man whose pay grade is a little bit above mine. So we're so glad to have Dr. Cazito with us, and just love him dearly. And that is who monitors your online audience. Also, if you have any questions, the online crew, you can ask. Dr. Cazito will either give you an answer or get you an answer, and I promise you we'll make sure it's the right answer. So we're glad everybody is here today to take this time and to take this opportunity to just worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. Now, I want to go ahead and say this. I may mention it again. Back in the Narthex, you see these baby bottles back there. There's a reason for those. We do support the Crisis Pregnancy Center of Greensboro. And then each year between Mother's Day and Father's Day, we just ask you to take one of these little baby bottles home with you, put your spare change in it, and then what we'll do is on Father's Day, we will collect those and we will send those to the Crisis Pregnancy Center. And one of the things that this goes to is it provides ultrasounds for ladies who are considering an abortion. And the numbers are pretty staggering. When those young ladies actually have an opportunity to see an ultrasound and to see that baby, it has literally been in the 90 percentile in this area of those who do not have an abortion. So I want you to think about that as you take these little bottles home and as you've got some spare change that you can put in there. Once you get them filled, everybody always says, you don't tell us what to do with them when we get done with them. You bring them back here, and we carry the weight down to the Crisis Pregnancy Center and make sure that they get those. So if you see those out in the Narthex, that's a fancy way of saying vestibule, which is right through there. You can pick one of those up, take them home with you, and put that spare change in them. And we'll be taking those, I'm going to call it an offering, between Mother's Day, which is today, and then Father's Day. So, but if you get a little bit behind on that and miss Father's Day, that's fine. There's a little bit of fluff in there that we'll be able to get that stuff to you. So today, like I say, is a very, very special day. This is Mother's Day, and we want to take a moment to recognize all of those who are mothers among us. Now, it doesn't matter if you are a member of our church or not. If you are a mother, you qualify for Mother's Day. So if you are a mom in here, would you please stand for me? Just go ahead and stand up. Don't be shy. You be the first one. Look, man, we got a lot of moms here today. We've got something that we want to put in your hands. So as you're standing up, as they come around, we just have a little gift for you today that says Happy Mother's Day. And once you get your gift, you can set back down. That's how we'll know that we don't miss anybody. But just a way to say how much we appreciate all that moms are and all that moms mean to each and every one of us on behalf of Central Baptist Church. What a great, great day to be able to come together and to be able to celebrate. So again, we are so tickled to have you here, and the things that you go through are pretty incredible. The things that you go through are pretty amazing. You've had those opportunities to stay up late at night with children. There are times when you didn't know exactly how things were going to go. There are times that you were wondering if the fever was going to break. There are times that you have prayed more fervently than you have ever prayed for those children that God blessed you with. Man, what a wonderful, wonderful blessing. I also want to say this. Mother's Day, although it is a glorious time, Mother's Day can also be a very difficult time for a lot of folks. So I want you to know that if you are one of those who has difficulty with Mother's Day, and I say that because there are many women out there who would love to be a mom, but they cannot. And today is a very, very difficult day for them. There are many that mom today is celebrating Mother's Day in heaven. And you have a lot of good memories, so there will be some tears today as well as some smiles along the way. But we want you to know that for each and every category of mom today, we are praying for you. We want you to know that you're very, very special to us. And let's, guys, you know, you got to wait till next month to be recognized, but let's show our appreciation to all the moms that are here with us today. We want you to know, moms, that we do love you, although sometimes you wonder. We love you. We appreciate all that you do, and you have been blessed by God to have that opportunity to be called mom. What a tremendous, tremendous blessing that is. Thank you for your nurture. Thank you for your care. I know that at some point today, my mother will be watching. So, Mom, I just want to tell you, happy Mother's Day from 3 hours away as both of us work to do the Lord's will in His time. So I'll talk to you tonight, by the way. At any rate, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together in the house of the Lord today. Father, we come to you now asking that you would truly help us to have our heart and our focus upon you. Today, Lord, I pray that all of the cares of the world would just take a back seat to the movement of your Holy Spirit in this place today. Lord, I know that there are many ways that Satan tries to distract us from being able to hear what the Spirit has to say to us today. Lord, I know there are a lot of things that are going on. There are folks here that have plans for the day. They've got lunch plans. They're going to be meeting with folks, and the schedule is very, very busy. But I pray you'll just help us to be able to put those things on the back burner here for just a little bit as we gather around your word and as we worship you. Lord, may you be first and foremost in our worship today because, Lord, we want to hear you and see you do amazing things, not only in our church, but in our own personal lives. We know that you have a tailor-made message for each and every one of us today because your word does not return void. So, Father, today as we honor mothers, we honor you, and I pray that during this time of worship, everything that we truly do and say would be an act of worship in your presence. Lord, help us not to be mechanical as we lift up our voices in song here in just a few moments. Help us to concentrate on what it is that we are singing, what we are saying, that it truly comes from our heart and not just from our lips. Lord, may it be a praise offering straight from us into your presence. Now, Lord, bless us today as only you can. Move in our hearts, and Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand with me as we sing number 4, To God Be the Glory.
To God be the glory.
Praise the Lord, praise Thank you.
that. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Great is thy faithfulness. God is good all the time. God really, really is good. We're going to be looking at some passages that come out of the book of Exodus chapter 2 this morning. And as you find that, I just want to mention that today the flowers that you see up here on the communion table, they are placed there in memory of Frances Young by her family. What a great lady. If you did not have the chance to have Miss Frances in your life, then your life will not be complete. I can tell you that. She was a wonderful, wonderful saint of God, and love her so dearly, but she is enjoying Mother's Day in heaven. But man, what a great, great legacy that she leaves, and what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful lady. So as you see Mr. Carl or Kelly or any of the Young family around, give them a hug and let them know how much Frances meant to you, because boy, she was something special. I'd fight for her, Carl. Yeah, I'd fight for her, buddy. If ever need be, I certainly would have done it. That is for sure. Today we're going to be looking at some passages, and you know, with it being Mother's Day, there are so many different places that you can go in God's Word that tell you about good qualities of a mother. Man, we could have gone over into Proverbs, and we could have talked about what the Lord tells us about finding a virtuous woman. But I always like this particular passage because I call it where the rubber meets the road. You know, you can talk about different qualities, but what is it? How does it come to those qualities when it comes time to function in essentially in the real world? And I love the passage that we're going to look at today because and a lot of us are familiar with this passage, but it is when Moses was born. And Moses was born at a very traumatic time, and it caused great, great stress, as it were, for his family. Not that Moses caused the great stress, but the situation and the circumstances did. And today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, we want to turn our attention to a very incredible story from God's Word. And I'll go ahead and give you the points I want to make up front so that you can see those as we go through this story. But we want to see the courage of a mother today. We want to look at the creativity of a mother today, and we want to look at the compassion of moms today. So if you would, look with me in our passages at Exodus chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading at verse 2. Exodus chapter 2, beginning with verse 2. It said, "So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him." Verse 5, "Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call a nurse for you, that you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we're grateful and thankful for your word. Lord, today, what an incredible story that we see that is a true example of motherhood and what you desire to see
in all mothers. Lord, I pray right now that as we spend these moments around your word, that you would keep the hedge of protection around us. Lord, keep Satan out of this room. Lord, we just pray that any attitudes or any of the things that we may feel that would distract us from hearing the Holy Spirit today would be put aside. And Lord, as always, I just ask as your messenger for these few moments that you would truly be high and lifted up, that you might draw all men unto yourself. And Lord, we'll be careful to praise you for that as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we see this story, this is just an incredible story. We have to understand a little bit of context as to what was going on back in that day. You see, you know, you had the Israelites and you had the Egyptians, okay? Of course, Pharaoh was the Egyptian, you can call it king or ruler, however you want to say that. And what had happened was the Hebrew population had begun to grow. And what happened, or at least what happened back in that day, kings did not like competition whatsoever. So if there was competition to the throne, as it were, then they would just simply eliminate the competition. That is how things went back in that day. So essentially what happened was Pharaoh started to see that the Hebrews were beginning to grow in number. This reminded me a whole lot of what we have seen and what we have learned over the years as we have taken those mission teams to Cuba for more than two decades. You know, that was one of the things that the Castro regime would do. They did not let any group get large enough to organize against them. So what they would do is they would always break those groups up. Okay, they didn't allow them to get big. So what was going on was that Pharaoh back in this particular time decided that he needed to have a population correction. So the population correction basically stated that all the children would be eliminated. Well, it was a very, very tough time because all of a sudden Moses' mama is about to bring forth a child. Now, could you imagine being in her shoes? Can you imagine what the stress of that situation must have been like for her? Now, we know that at least at some point she knew what this order was prior to when Moses was actually born. Now, how do you hide that? I mean, last time I checked, and I'm not the greatest biological person in the world, but it takes 9 months. And as those months begin to go by, it becomes apparent that a woman is with child. Amen? Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? A lot of y'all in here have lived it, a whole bunch of them. All y'all that stood up there a minute ago, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This is not something that you can hide. You know, it becomes apparent. It becomes obvious. And all of a sudden, Jochebed, which is Moses' mama, finds herself in a very dire situation as Pharaoh has orchestrated the death of all of the male Hebrew infants. And yet, in this terrifying setting, Jochebed demonstrates profound courage along the way. And what she did was she defiled the king's edict, determining that she was going to preserve the life of her son. Now, a lot of us may look at that situation and say, particularly if you're a mother, you look at that situation and say, I get it. I understand. I would do the exact same thing for my children. Most mothers would die for their children. It was interesting how a study was done, and this has been back years ago, that a study was done on the potential of a lady who was with child, and when it came down to it, if there was some sort of a medical issue or medical problem, if the question was put forth to the mother that the doctor were to say, I can only save one of you. We can either save your child or we could save you. 100% of the time, the mother said, save the child. The father, on the other hand, most often said, save mama. That's the way that went. So there is a connection beyond anything us males could understand between mothers and children. Now, you have probably at some point either pulled the trigger on this or seen the trigger pulled on this, and this is what I'm talking about. Nobody messes with your children. Amen? Right, mama? You want to see the claws come out. And that's a kind way to say it. You mess with a mama's child and you are in for it, right? So all of a sudden, you've got Jehochabed realizing that she is in a dire situation. And the situation, if she followed the edicts of Pharaoh, would mean the death of her son. I can imagine, you know, I personally don't think that she wrestled much with that situation. I think that it was very quick and easy for her to make up her mind and says, I'm not doing that. I'm not turning my child over to the government to be killed. And I know that if they find out, they will come to this house. So we've got to do something to preserve his life. Often when I read this story, I think about what it's like and some of the footage that I have seen in places that are war-torn regions around the world. And you'll see some footage of a mother with a little child, and she's facing danger at every turn. But what empowers her is her fierce love for her children as she covers them, as she makes her movements through the streets. And a lot of the guys that I've talked to that have served in military conflicts have seen this and witnessed it firsthand, the love of a mother for a child. They would give their life for that child's life. Now, as modern believers today, we must admire and also emulate Jehochabed's courage. It took this woman courage to sit back and say, I really don't care what Pharaoh says. Nobody is going to take my little Moses away from me. Now, it says, and I want us to go back because I think this is extremely important. You know, I think that during the time of this particular command, she was carrying the child, Moses, but the time came that she should be delivered. She had the child, and we know that how old Moses was when all this took place. If you'll go look with me at verse 2, it says this. It says, the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, I like that. He was a good-looking kid. And a lot of y'all would say, well, every child's beautiful in mama's eyes. You're right. So when she saw that he was a beautiful child, it says that she hid him for how long? 3 months. How do you keep a baby from making noise for 3 months? If you have the secret to that, I am sure there are a lot of parents of children that would love to know the answer to that, right? How many of you all lost a little bit of sleep when your child was little? Some still are. You know why? They have a way of letting you know that they are still around. They have a way of letting you know that they need change. They have a way of letting you know that they are hungry. So can you imagine what that must have been like for Jehochabed when all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, little Moses decides to cry out, and I will guarantee you that he probably had the best set of lungs on a child that you ever thought about. When you are trying to keep something quiet, have you ever noticed how loud it seems? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, when you are intently listening to something and you are concentrating on it, I mean, if somebody snaps their fingers, you'll jump. Because those things can get really loud. And she's over there. I mean, I'm sure she's probably rushing in there, picking it up, going, shh, 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 be quiet, be quiet. Your life is on the line, and he didn't even know that. So for 3 months, she's doing this cloak and dagger thing, trying to protect and trying to watch over her son. Imagine the courage that took. I would believe that Pharaoh probably would have said, if they ever were to have found Moses, they would probably sit back and say, well, he's not a newborn. She's been hiding him. She has been defying the law. And you need to understand that back in that day, if you defied the law, you didn't get a slap on the wrist. You didn't necessarily just get some time in jail. Most often, you would lose your life. Particularly such a blatant disregard for what that particular law brought. Jochebed's life was in danger, and so was her son, young son, Moses. So then she realized, I am not going to be able to continue to pull this off. You know, eventually, he's going to grow up. Eventually, there are going to be people that are going to be able to put two and two together and say, you know, say that the decree went out at this particular time, and he's how old? something ain't right here. As they say, where I come from, there's a polecat in the hen house. Something's just not right. So she knew that this was not something that she could keep up, but she was not willing to let her son just go at the hands of the Egyptians and at the edict of the Egyptian Pharaoh. So unable to hide Moses any longer, all of a sudden she comes to what I think our next point of motherhood is, and that is creativity. She became very creative. All right, Jochebed used her creativity to devise a plan that was going to save her son. And she thought about what was right there in front of her. Man, I love it. And I say this all the time because there is something that is very, very true about this. Where are my daddies of daughters? If you have a daughter, Dad, raise your hand. You are done. Right? Would you agree with me? There's something about that relationship between daddies and their daughters. Let me put it in short. Most often, daughters get what they want from daddy, right? And I've heard it before. I ain't going to be that way with my daughter. That's not going to happen. And I love to go back a little bit later on and say, yeah, that's not going to happen with my daughter. And I'm sitting there looking. I said, that is the most spoiled girl I've ever seen in my life. Hallelujah, you finally saw the light. Now, I will also say that there is something very, very special about those moms of boys. Where are my moms of boys? Yeah, something about that too, isn't it? I mean, there's a special connection with those type of relationships. Now, that doesn't mean that as a daddy, you don't love your sons, and as a mama, you don't love your daughters. But if you've ever looked, most often, daughters and daddies get along better than mothers and sons do. And mothers and sons get along together other than the opposite. Now, y'all just read my mind about what I was trying to say, right? Okay, good. Because it just didn't really sound like it came out right. But nonetheless, you got what I'm talking about. So she wants to protect her son at all costs. And she says, I've got an idea. And this is where the idea came from. That was what all that pre-stuff was all about. She had to find a way to be able to get it cleared through Pharaoh, who is the one who said, all of these children are going to die. So what does Jochebed do? She says, Pharaoh has a daughter. Now, could you imagine what that must have been like? I will guarantee you that Pharaoh's daughter got what Pharaoh's daughter wanted. And Pharaoh's daughter probably got, well, not probably, Pharaoh's daughter got her way. Plain and simple, okay? Now, how does that play into this? Because of what happened. So Jochebed says this, here's how I can save my son. So apparently she knew that Pharaoh's daughter would go down to the river at a particular time, and that was where she would bathe. And she devised this plan through her creativity that she was going to build what is known as the Moses basket. A lot of y'all have seen that. Sometimes they still have those little things around before, but she made a basket, and it says that she lined it with pitch, asphalt and pitch. That probably was a messy job. But the bottom line is, what that did was that water sealed the little, I'll call it the little ark, because that sounds like a good spiritual term, right? So what she did was she devises this plan. She makes this little basket. She puts a little Moses in it. She knows the time that Pharaoh's daughter is going to be going down to the river to bathe. So she goes to that area. She puts this little basket in the bulrushes where they were going to be at least passing by. And of course, it says that Moses' sister was watching from afar to see what was going to happen. In other words, you just don't put the baby in the bushes and walk away and hope for the best. So his sister was watching to see what was going to happen. And then she played a part in this great, incredible miracle of God, as I would say, and plan of God. So Pharaoh's daughter came along just as intended. She sees this basket over in the bulrushes, and she's curious. You know what they say about curiosity? So now she didn't go get it, but she says to one of her servants, there's a little basket over there in the bulrushes.
why don't you go see what that is? Go get it. Well, so the servant goes over there, picks the basket up and goes, it's a baby. And all of a sudden, when Pharaoh's daughter pulls the little cover, a little blanket or whatever mama put in there with him, it says that Moses started to cry. And when Moses started to cry, she had compassion on him. By the way, that's point number three. Creativity was number two. Compassion was number three. Imagine mama's creating a safe place for her child in a very, very unpredictable environment, like building a little small sanctuary amidst the chaos. And that is exactly what she did. In our chaotic lives, we too need to have that creativity to address the challenges that face us today. Whether it's finding a new way to communicate love, whether it's fostering spiritual growth, or solving complex problems, we should look to Jehochabed's example and seek God's guidance to inspire an innovative solution, a creative solution, especially in roles as caregivers and mentors and friends. So we see that compassion now takes place. It is so ironic how God can line things up. I love this because remember what we said. Mama didn't just put the basket in there and go away. Moses' sister was to watch to see what would happen. And when they saw Pharaoh's daughter and her maidservants fetch the basket out, and she heard little Moses cry, all of a sudden she appears on the scene. Hey, what you got there? It looks like a baby. And the interesting part was, Miriam didn't say, are you going to keep it? She didn't say, what are you going to do now? Do you realize what she said? She said, hey, yeah, you know, that's a Hebrew baby. Do you want me to go find a Hebrew mama to nurse this baby for you? In other words, it wasn't, what are you going to do with it, A, B, or C? Look, you need a nurse for that baby. I can find you one. And did you see what? I mean, Pharaoh's daughter is still probably awestruck over this really cute little Moses. And she's sitting there just loving on him and just thinking, oh, this is going to be the greatest thing since sunshine. You know what? She was not even concerned about what daddy's rule and daddy's law was. I've said this before. I think that the time came when she got done, she probably had one of the little maid servants, you know, watch over little Moses. Because as Miriam went down there and said, you want me to find a nurse? She goes, and I'm translating here. This is Roy's rendition. Yeah, go find a nurse. And guess who the nurse was? Moses' mama. She knew exactly who to go get. And so Miriam probably comes and says, hey, this is the Hebrew lady I found for you to nurse and to take care of Moses. And she goes, and Pharaoh's daughter says, you got the job. So she gets to raise her own son without the fear of him losing his life. Now that brings up another thing. Remember, daddy had a rule, right? All these Hebrew children were supposed to die. Are you starting to understand what I was talking about a few minutes ago when I said something about that special relationship between daddies and daughters? So I feel that what happened was that she went to her daddy with little Moses and she goes, check him out. Isn't this a beautiful little boy? Isn't this a gorgeous baby? I'm keeping him. Not, is it okay if I keep him? Not, would it be all right if he hung out with us? She said, no. This one's mine, and I'm keeping him. Now, how many of you in here before ever had your child bring home a puppy that you didn't want, but you wound up keeping? I see a few short hands. You're not raising the hand up real high. cat, dog, pet, what, hamster, gerbil, whatever. You didn't really want it, but you wound up keeping it. Why? Because your child wanted it. You might have tolerated it. Now, the bad part is some of y'all actually just fell in love with it. It's funny because my mom has a little miniature schnauzer named Piper, and my dad was like, "We don't want no more dogs. Don't want that." Well, he loved the dog as much, if not more, than my mama does. Get attached to him. So I said all that to simply say this. She went home to her daddy and said, "I don't really care what your rule is about all these Hebrew children dying. This one ain't dying. In fact, this one's staying in this household. I've already got a nurse for him. I've got it all taken care of." Now listen, we can't come up with a plan like that. Only God can come up with a plan like that. Now let me tell you the really good part. Whatever your circumstance, whatever your situation, I will make you this promise. God has a plan for it. See, sometimes we get in those circumstances and situations where it seems like there's no way out. Jochebed was sitting there thinking, "My son is going to die. I will give my life trying to protect him. But right now, it seems like there's just no way out." And then God showed up. God said, "Nope, nope. I got real special plans for that guy. Yeah, I got some extremely incredible things in store for Moses. So he is not going to die at the hands of Pharaoh. And not only is he not going to die at the hands of Pharaoh, he is going to eat Pharaoh's food. He's going to get Pharaoh's education. He's going to live in Pharaoh's house." But he always remembered, because his mama got to taught him, his mama taught him who he was as a Hebrew. Isn't that cool? Listen, he wasn't going to get that kind of education in Pharaoh's house. The best kind of education, the biblical education. But as she took care of him, as his mama nursed him, she always reminded him of who God was. She always reminded him of who he was as one of God's children, to know and to love. Now we know, we can fast forward. We know some of the stories about what happened. He grew up in Pharaoh's house. And if you remember, the lessons he learned were very good lessons, because he saw an Egyptian and a Hebrew arguing, sometime down the road. And God love his heart, he was trying to be a peacemaker. He's like, "What are you guys fighting about?" And then, of course, evidently he said something that Moses didn't like. Moses killed him. By the way, the one he killed was the Egyptian. It was like, uh-oh. So what did he do? He hid the body. He thought he got away with it, until the same thing happened a little bit later on. And he tries to intervene once again between an argument between an Egyptian and a Hebrew. And the other guy looks at him and says, "Well, what are you going to do? You going to kill me like you killed the last guy?" And then Moses realized he'd been found out. And see, that's when he left. That's when you find him later after that tending the sheep away. And I've said this, particularly when it comes to Christmas and we talk about the shepherds. The shepherds were the lowest socioeconomic class that there was. You didn't want to raise your son to be a shepherd. That was the way that was. That just, you just didn't do that. And he walked away. And God, yet God comes to him in the burning bush like we were talking about last week. And he begins to tell him, he begins to say to him, he says, "I'm going to use you to go to who? Pharaoh." "Oh no, man, you got the wrong guy. I grew up in his house. And he don't like me right now." God says, "I didn't pick the wrong person. I picked you." Remember all Moses' excuses? "Well, I don't talk well. I don't do well in front of a crowd." God says, what do I have to do with you? You don't understand. I'm telling you, this is what you're going to do. Here you go. I'm going to take your excuse off the table. Your brother Aaron is a good public speaker. So I will tell you, you will tell Aaron, and Aaron will be the mouthpiece for you. God did not let him off the hook. But I want you to think about, again, this is Mother's Day. We could go all kinds of different directions with the Word of God today. But I want you to see what she did for her son. I want you to see that love that she had. I want you to see that creativity that she had. And I want you to see the compassion that she not only had for her son, but the compassion that Pharaoh's daughter had toward Moses. Pharaoh's daughter finds the basket, has compassion for the cry of a baby. You know, usually what happens, what happens when a baby cries most often, and it's not bedtime? Somebody responds to the baby, right? You go pick the baby up, and there's usually two things that you will check. And you will start in this order. You will generally check a diaper. Why? Because even babies don't like to be uncomfortable in that mess. So if the diaper is okay, then you will go to number two, which is what? A bottle. Man, most of the time you stick a bottle in that pie hole and, oh, they're just, and then they're in like that milk trance. Yeah, you burp up and they're in that, but they have been responded to. You respond to their needs because you realize they can't do it without you. And her compassion, Pharaoh's daughter's compassion, extended beyond the cultural and the national boundaries, eventually leading to the most unexpected outcome, and that was Moses, a Hebrew boy, being raised in Pharaoh's household. That, my friend, is only something God can do, plain and simple. You know, picture a person reaching out across cultural divides to help another simply out of love and compassion. See, that's one of the things I love about the fact that we send a team down to Cuba every year and have been doing so for more than two decades. I go down there and preach. You know how much Spanish I know? Nothing. But yet God provides. I always like to share this because one of the great things too often we overlook some of the greatest things that God does in our lives. And I still, and I've shared this before, but Chad Carter was with us on one particular trip. And Chad is a deep thinker, unlike me. I'm usually trying to figure out where the next joke's going to be or something to that nature. But coming back from that particular service, and that night there were 1,200 people at that particular service. And there were a lot of people who trusted Christ at that particular service that night at that church in Guantanamo. And Chad was sitting there pondering. And he said, that was something special. And I said, yeah. He goes, it's pretty incredible what God did. And I was like, yeah. And then literally, probably a half a minute went by, and I'm like, what is he talking about? So I asked him, I said, what are you talking about, Chad? And he said, well, he said, you remember, you know, when you were facing the audience, off to the right, there was a section of folks that were deaf. I said, yeah, I saw them. They were there. He said, and they had a sign language interpreter. I said, yeah, that's kind of the way it usually goes. Yeah. And he goes, no, you're missing the point. And this is what he said. He said, the point is, God sent you from North Carolina to Guantanamo, Cuba, to this particular church to preach the gospel message in English. Then God provided Jose, the translator, to translate it into Spanish, which is what the interpreter understood. So then once again, God provided the interpreter who listened in Spanish and interpreted in sign language, all to reach those folks who needed Christ, who came to know Jesus that particular day. And he said, God is pretty incredible. And I was like, I really hadn't thought about it that way, but yes, God is incredible. No, I didn't think of the complexity that was involved in that. And too often we don't think of the complexity that God uses in our lives to bring about his will. So you know what we need to do? We need to strive to show unconditional compassion like Pharaoh's daughter did. We should reach out to those in need, regardless of their background, regardless of their status. And we need to nurture them with love. Yeah, I like what a guy said one time, and I think that it's very, very true. If we loved people like God intended us to, there would be no problem with filling up every church in America. If we loved people in the love of the Lord, the way the Lord loves them, we could fill up every church and still have room for people. People will go where they're genuinely loved. I just want to say, and I've been saying it for quite a while, we live in a pretty nasty society, don't we? You know, and unfortunately, even Christian people are cutting each other off at the emotional knees. You know, we're not living as the Lord wants us to. We're not relating as God would want us to, as brothers and sisters of Christ. Because let me tell you, a tragedy for the testimony to the gospel message is this. If that's the way Christian people act, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Wow. Sometimes one of the greatest causes of hurt for the gospel message is God's people. And it's unfortunate. Why don't we just love people where they are? Why don't we quit trying to be so technical about all these different this and that and the other thing? Why don't we just give somebody a smile and a handshake when they're having a bad day? When they're grouchy? I think it irritates them a little bit. I really do. You know, somebody's sitting there going, rah, 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 and you go up and say, shake their hand, and you smile at them and you say, hey, listen, God loves you and so do I. But you better mean that and you better reflect that. You can't go out and live like hell itself all week and then tout Jesus on Sunday because people see through that quickly. Even children see through that. So today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, let's remember Jehochabed's courage. Let's remember her creativity. And let's remember the compassion of Pharaoh's daughter as a powerful example of a mother's love. May we recognize and honor those traits, not just in mothers, but in all those who play nurturing roles in our lives. You know, today we celebrate moms, and I see a bunch of good moms out there. I see a bunch of moms who have sacrificed. I have seen moms who have at times worked numerous jobs to provide for their children. And I like what somebody recently said that just kind of sticks in my heart. I was kind of awestruck when I heard it, but he said, I'm going to try to make sure I say it right, but he said, the hardest thing in the world to do is to teach somebody that you cannot live without how to live without you. Whew. That's deep, isn't it? You know, as parents, we raise our children because God's got plans for them. As parents, we try to give them the best start that they can in life, realizing that someday they will have to do that without us. So one of the hardest things in the world to do is to teach somebody that you cannot live without how to live without you. Because someday you will. Moms, you have given so much for your children. I pray that as children, we will have an understanding that we will be grateful, that we will certainly make sure that we maintain that relationship. You know, I know there's people all over the world that are estranged from their mothers. Over what? I've talked to people before that have been estranged from their mother, and I said, let me ask you a question. Why are you estranged from your mother? And they couldn't even tell me why. It had been so long. I said, pick up the phone. Make a phone call. Reach out. Do what you can do. Listen, you can only do what you can do. Then at least you can sit back and say, I exhausted every means that I had to make things right. You know what? Most of the time when they had told what the problem was, literally, and I made some of them mad. I said, that's the stupidest thing in the world. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. You and your mother have been estranged over something as dumb as this. I said, is it really worth it? No, it's not. Reach out. If you're, and listen, if your mama is still with you today, reach out to her. Let her know you love her. Let her know you saw the sacrifices that were made. Let her know that the times that the tears flowed that you never saw, you understand and realize that they were there. That's all Mom wants to hear, is I love you. And I appreciate you. And I thank you for what you've done. Make that call today. Blame me. Listen, if that's you and you can't take that step, you say, well, the preacher said that I was supposed to call today. That's fine. Throw me under the bus and hit me with every tire. But I guarantee you, it'll be what's best and what's right. You can just say that you were being obedient to the spiritual authority in your life. Blame me, but call mom. Call her. Love her. And let's be what God wants us to be as we go forward. Moms, you have an incredible responsibility and an incredible journey. We love you and we thank you for it. Brad, I'm going to ask you guys to come on up. Just a moment, we're going to have our invitation to him. And the first and foremost and most powerful question is simply this. You do not know what love is unless you know the Savior. Love is what sent God's only begotten Son to Calvary's cross. But love is also what brought him through the grave and through the resurrection. He's going to prepare a place for us. It's not about how much you give, what you do. It's not even about how kind you are. It's not about you being a good person. Let me tell you what it's about. It's about who you know. And do you know Jesus Christ? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I don't want to see any of y'all spend an eternity in hell. So I'm begging you today to make sure that your relationship is right with Jesus, that you have confessed to him that you are a sinner, that you confess to him that his son Jesus Christ shed his blood. It covers all of our sins, past, present, future, and that we have a future in heaven. When I say, my Father in heaven, he says, yes, Roy, he calls me by name. Knows his children by name. Does he know? Listen, if not, I don't want you to do anything else. If the Holy Spirit is prompting your heart right now, you need to make that right. You can bow your head and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need Jesus as my Savior. Forgive my sin. Save my soul. And help me to live like one of your children. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'll tell you that if you did that with all of your heart and you met it, that you opened the door. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and eat with me. The salvation is there. But he wants to get to know you. I like to get to know you. Really, it freaks people out in this society today. You know, you're sitting in an airport, you're sitting somewhere, and you're like, hey, you know, start talking with them a little bit. I'm kind of like that guy on those commercials when, like, we're with our parents. And I'll talk to somebody. I'll say, listen, tell me your story. Tell me about your life. Where did you come from? Was it people like to talk about themselves? And boy, yeah, being
churches, let us know. If you're part of our online audience, tell about Gazebo. Just say, hey, look, I just trusted Jesus today. If you're here, we'll give you an opportunity to respond to an invitation. It's his invitation, not mine. But we're going to celebrate with you. I get it. You know, we've got 10 minutes before we've got to get out of here and be all Methodist and a good eating place. We can make that. So, right now is the time to say, hey, listen, I have trusted Jesus. He is my Savior today. We want to celebrate with you, and we want to help you to live for Him. Don't let that word discipleship scare you. If done properly, it is one of the most incredible things you'll ever do in your life. I'm asking you to do for Jesus something small because He did something great for you. When we start to sing that song, just come down here and tell me, say, preacher, listen, I trust in Christ today. Hey, we're going to celebrate. I'm going to pray with you, and we're going to celebrate. Maybe you just need some time with a good old-fashioned altar. Like I said, I'm an old soul. I still believe in an altar. I still believe in an invitation. You can sign and check cards all you want to. That's perfectly fine as well, but this altar is always open. You need to lay some things down that the Lord will take care of based on the way He's led you today. I'm encouraging you to do that. Would you do that as we stand and sing our invitation hymn number 317, Only Trust Him. Father, as we come to you today, again, we are grateful for the provision that you have given to each and every one of us. And then, Lord, in doing so, you have asked us to be faithful. You are watching what we're doing right now. You've asked us to be faithful to return the tithe and the offering. And, Lord, you've asked us to do that as an act of worship. So, Lord, today I pray that we truly would be found faithful to return to you what is rightfully yours. Lord, I know that you want to bless each and every one of us. So, Lord, help us to be faithful with what we have before you would ever give us any more. So bless this offering, the gift and the giver, and may we use it in a responsible way as a steward of what belongs to you, that others may come to know you. And, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of y'all recognize what Vicky just played? Come on, more than three of you knew what that was. And it was, the title of that was Precious Memories. Yep, boy, what a good one. Some of y'all just sat there and thought about that because, you know, where you are in life. There's some old precious memories, that's for sure. Well, I did. But at any rate, let me go ahead and tell you what we got going on, and we'll get you out of here for the day. Birthdays that we've got coming up this week. Roger Brooks will be having a birthday this coming Wednesday. So when you see Roger, be sure to wish him a happy birthday. As well as anniversaries, we've got Donnie and Jenny Chilton will be having an anniversary this coming Wednesday as well. A lot of good things going on Wednesday. Don't forget, we will not be having Sunday night activities here around the church. We want you to be able to spend time with mom and relax there a little bit. Steve Kelly's D group will be meeting tomorrow, Monday, 6 o'clock p.m. In Family Life Center 116. As always, every Wednesday is the men's breakfast there at the Olympic in Colfax. I do want to give you a couple of dates on the Ladies' Connections. The Ladies' Connections monthly meeting is going to be June the 4th at 4 o'clock p.m. That's June the 4th at 4 o'clock p.m. That says May the 7th at 4 o'clock p.m. up there. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, which one is right? June the 11th. Okay, it's not May the 7th, it's not June the 4th, it is June the 11th. Now we'll try to get all that sorted out, we'll get all that sorted out next week, so you got time. Anyway, June the 11th on that. Now let me ask this, is the breakfast still on the 15th? Okay, the breakfast on the 15th at 9 a.m., that's the ladies' monthly breakfast at Cagney's. On Friendly, that is going to be the 15th of this month at 9 o'clock a.m. Don't forget, we do have our bi-monthly blood drive coming up this coming Wednesday at Tuesday. I don't know. It says, what's the 13th? Is that Tuesday? Okay. I was just testing y'all. So the blood drive is this coming Tuesday. And we would love for you to give up a pint. Each pint you give can save three lives in some way, shape, form, or fashion. I think that we have been voted the best food at blood drives in the Triad area. So you will not go away hungry. We appreciate all of what our ladies do to help out with that. Katie Nelson right down here in the front. You can talk to her if you have any questions about that. But we would love to see you with a rolled up sleeve. And what are we having this time? Tacos. We'll stick a taco in your hand and a needle in your arm. Now, come on down. We'd love to have you. I don't think that really sounded good, did it? Anyway, it's great. Y'all come on down. If I can give blood, anybody can. I promise you that because I don't like needles. Anyway, be sure you hear this. Next Sunday morning is our homecoming, okay? Homecoming here at Central Baptist Church. The way the schedule is going to roll, we are going to do our worship service here in the sanctuary. And then once we get done with our worship service, we will go over to the gym for lunch. We say 1 o'clock, but it's not that far from here to there. So if we get everybody over there, we'll say the blessing, and we will go ahead and enjoy a good fellowship meal together. So don't forget, that is next Sunday. There is a sign-up sheet out there in the Narthex lobby on that stand. If you're coming, and we want you to come. Please just sign up. That just helps our fellowship team know how many people to prepare for, okay? That's what helps us out in that regard. If you want to bring somebody, bring somebody. If you want to bring 10 people, bring 10 people. But just put me and 10 people. So at least we'll know how many people will be here. So we look forward to celebrating our church anniversary next Sunday. And then I also want to make this reminder, graduation Sunday is going to be the first Sunday in June. We need to know if there are any graduates that we want to recognize. And we have a sheet out there in the Narthex as well. You will see a graduation sheet that says, you know, what the student's name is, what their where they're graduating from, what their future plans are, and that sort of thing. We put a deadline on that of May the 18th, okay? So pick that form up, put your graduate on there. We want to recognize them
here at church on the first Sunday in June, which we call Graduation Sunday. But get us that form. Don't say, my niece is graduating from, you know, Podunk Holler University. Well, what's she graduating with? I don't know. What's her major? I don't know. What's she going to do? I don't know. That's what I'm going to say up here. Well, they said, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, get us that information and get that back to me by the 18th of this month, because we want to take that time to enjoy the hard work of each and every one of the those folks that are graduating this year, whether it is from high school, whether it's from college, whether it's from community college, tech school, whatever it is. If you are graduating with a degree or a certification, we want to recognize you for that. So, any questions? Anything I've forgotten? Pastor David, come see us off in a word of prayer. And if there's anything I've forgotten, pick me up. You got my back. Anyway, listen, guys, I love you. I hope you have a wonderful Mother's Day.
Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day that we can come and celebrate you and celebrate our mothers. We're so thankful for our mothers and the mothers that are our wives and the mothers of our children. Lord, what a blessing it is to be a family. Lord, I pray that you'll unite today, if they're not already, you'll unite every family in this church. Everyone who's still alive, everyone who has a mother living, Lord, that they'll spend some time caring for each other today. Lord, bless us as we go from this place. Help us to always celebrate who you are. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.